thank you for joining me, Jake. Yeah. So you go by Sitcom.
Yeah.
So this is for WTBU, the beat of Boston University. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say that at the beginning of every
That's
interview.
Fine.
But I want to talk to you a little bit about Be the One You Love.
Yeah.
So the first thing I want to talk to you about is the Grassy Field on a Sunny Day video.
Yeah.
I just kind of wanted to know like the inspiration behind that video and if it was done in one take. If you can kind of like tell me a little bit about it, because it just seemed very impressive to just kind of shoot that entire thing.
Yeah. That was done with collaboration with Rich Smith, who mm-hmm. I work with a lot, like
okay.
a frequent collaborator. And I mean, we knew we wanted to do like some sort of album video. Like long form that would just be kind of replaced like the album stream.
Mm-hmm.
And it was done one take. I mean, we just showed up and like performed the whole thing on
gotcha.
The field that I like. It's over on Kelly Drive. It's mm-hmm. just like this empty soccer field. I don't know. I just thought we'd both have played around with like picture in picture, which is where it's like
a
smaller camera and, or like a smaller video screen inside of a larger
mm-hmm.
video screen. So we thought it'd be cool to like have one camera moving around and one stable.
Yeah.
I play around with like the HD footage and then also just like DV footage.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really think of anything that's like major inspirations. Like,
yeah.
Like that. But I don't know. I had a good time doing it. It was like cold.
It was really cold.
Yeah. Like we just shot a video for Orange Slice, which
mm-hmm.
is the first song in the album.
Yeah.
And on Sunday, it was really hot, it was like 100 degrees outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole time I was thinking about how the last time we all shot outside was the Grassy Field video, and it was
mm-hmm.
like probably like 40 degrees outside.
Yeah.
And it was just, or like maybe even in the 30s or something. And I was just like, it's so weird, the like weather extremes that we've been dealing with.
So you just shot your video for Orange Slice. Is there any other videos that you're doing for the album? Or
no, I've been writing a lot, so I'm just kind of moving on to the next thing.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So I was wondering, I saw that on the video, Larry is credited as Eternal Boy, and I'm guessing, is that your brother?
That's my dog.
That's your dog?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha, because he's also mentioned in the, like, in a verse on, your last song on the album.
Yeah, I'm Still Alive.
So, gotcha.
He passed away in November. He lived to be 17.
Oh, wow.
He's a shit
Dang.
Suit.
Yeah. I guess that's an Eternal Boy there. Yeah.
And I wrote a song called Eternal Boy, like, right, just, like, that week that he passed. And
mm-hmm.
then, I don't know what to do with it yet, but I was like, maybe I'll put that as a credit.
Gotcha.
And maybe that'll keep appearing or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do you write about your dog a lot? Like,
I have in the last couple mm-hmm. of years. I had another band called Fuzzle,
mm-hmm.
and that band, I think Larry came up a couple times. Just thinking that band, I feel like a lot of the writing was a lot more about domestic life and
mm-hmm.
thinking about the suburbs. And I think when I think about domestic life in the suburbs, I think about my dog.
Gotcha.
Like
yeah.
sitting by a window.
Understand that. Me too. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that whole like the theming of your album, because Be the One You Love seems like a really personal album,
mm-hmm.
or at least that's how I took it. But I was wondering what you thought the unifying factor of all the songs on the album was.
Probably like trying to self-actualize.
Mm-hmm.
An attempt to self-actualize and like understand myself.
Gotcha.
And trying to figure out how to love myself. And that's one. I mean, like thematically, I think that's what ties a lot of things together.
Mm-hmm.
Is like trying to figure out how to love both someone else and myself.
Gotcha.
Those two. And then, I guess like production-wise, it was like me trying to make like pop music.
Mm-hmm.
Like definitely wanted it to be polished and
mm-hmm.
a lot more thinking about like beats and which I feel like I, not that I necessarily got completely out of my system, but for I've kind of in the recent stuff I've been going back to like just playing a guitar.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
But
I was gonna say it sounds a little bit different than your other
like
stuff
that you saw at the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely liking the guitar a lot more now.
Mm-hmm.
But probably went through 2 or 3 years that I was really into just like drum programming and
mm-hmm.
synthesizers, and I think that Be the One You Love was kind of like the peak of that
mm-hmm.
for the time being. Like I'm not saying it's gonna go away. It's just it's kind of like a pendulum. Like I'm constantly going back and forth.
So do you think your next album is gonna be more guitar based, or
it's looking like that now?
Yeah.
I'm unsure. I'm not trying. I've been trying recently to work without thinking about the result. mm-hmm. of anything, so I just keep writing and keep kind of letting things flow, and then when things are done, I'll kind of like reassess it.
Gotcha. Here, but, is your mic... Do you mind,
Is it going through?
Yeah, I think...
I know I talk quiet sometimes.
I'm sorry about that.
No, it's okay, let me readjust it.
It's just you're giving me really good answers, so I want to make sure
Is that good?
I'm able, yeah, that's perfect. I just want to make sure I'm able to transcribe
sure,
them well.
Yeah.
So,
But yeah, what was this? Oh,
You were talking about, not thinking about the result?
Yeah.
Really?
Only on the effort, and I think that's something that I've struggled with. It's always, mm-hmm. like, jumping... to like, where is this gonna be? What's this like? Mm-hmm. What does this look like in context to an album?
Gotcha.
And now I'm trying to take a step back and be more just like, what is this object of a song?
Yeah. That's super hard to do with art, but, I would imagine. Yeah, without thinking about that final, you know, product. So I had a specific question about a specific song.
Yes.
I was wondering if Oh My Goddess, is it a positive song or is it a negative song? Because there's like,
that's
like a, like a hard, it's hard to put your songs into a box.
I think if you're asking that question, you get it.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha. Because I was just like, there's those lyrics like, not growing any closer and stuff like that. I was like, oh man, that hurts, but I understand.
Yeah.
Like that type of thing. So that's basically your answer is kind of like.
I think you get it.
Yeah, all right. So I noticed when I was watching your performance at the show, I immediately got, especially when you were talking, Andy Kaufman vibes.
I love Andy
Kaufman. Yeah, like he's a really big inspiration for me too. I do comedy, so like he's a really big inspiration for
me
too. So, and then I noticed that he was mentioned in your lyrics for Be the One You Love. And a lot of your other idols seem to be mentioned, like Sting, Marvin Gaye, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
Sting the wrestler, just so that's...
Gotcha. Not from the Police.
Not from the Police, but the wrestler Sting.
So are you into like older wrestling?
Yeah, like, I like wrestling. I grew up watching wrestling.
So like Andy Kaufman a little bit. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if first you could tell me about how kind of those people have contributed to your art, and then also if that song is about... departing, like kind of breaking away from idolizing people and instead not idolizing yourself, but maybe like, do you kind of get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like a little bit? I just kind of want to dig deeper into the meaning of that song.
Sure. The first part, I think Andy Kaufman, like just as a figure, has shaped the way that I like think about art making a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He's been like this constant like anchor for me as far as like a person to look back to and be like, this is kind of what I think like, not, I don't know about perfection, but like, I'll just use that for now, but like perfect artist,
mm-hmm.
kind of what their like work looks like, their career looks like, the way they're thinking. Like, I feel like there was a fearlessness where like, of both like, just ending up like successful and then just still kind of being like, I'll just do my own thing.
Yeah.
Like,
gotcha.
Still experimenting even after the success,
mm-hmm.
and having like somewhat of a tragedy. I think the like the thing about the specific idols mentioned in that song is that they all died young and in these really tragic ways. Like, Arthur Russell died, except for Sting. I think he's in a different verse, so it's a little bit different.
That's how you separate it, by tragedy and not tragedy.
That's kind of a different like narrative path, I think, in that song. But the specific one was like Arthur Russell, Marvin Gaye, and Andy Kaufman.
Mm-hmm. Arthur Russell was the cellist, right?
The cellist, and he made a bunch of other stuff too. He died of AIDS in 92. Andy Kaufman died in 1984 of cancer, and Marvin Gaye was shot by his father.
By his dad,
And just kind of like, all of them, I think what I'm trying to get to in that song, and maybe it'll probably be explored more later, like I don't think I hit it perfectly, but just like seeking success, seeking fame, a lot of the people that we idolize, like there's a 27 Club, all those people that die, like kind of these like live fast, die young, this that lifestyle where a lot of my goals in life were like to get successful and almost to have this fame, but also recognizing that the people I idolized have all died in like either at the peak or right after or like just younger, and that maybe there's something about like living to this really old age without but not necessarily seeing the success, the tangible success that you think you
deserve.
I don't know about deserve, but like that you kind of, that I personally was like, that I thought I would get. Mm-hmm. And like, I might not see it, I might see it, doesn't really matter either way.
Yeah.
I think that's what there's a line in the chorus about, like, I don't want to be 97 regretting things that I thought about at 22. Mm-hmm. Which is just to mean like stuck in this loop almost of like always trying to chase like money or success or anything that's kind of, when you get it, it's fleeting anyways.
Yeah.
So I guess just looking at my idols and being like, what do I like about them, what do I not like about them? Mm-hmm. Is maybe the kind of like thesis
gotcha.
That you can really like take away.
All right, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, another specific... Sorry to keep doing these specific song dissections.
I don't know if mind it.
Okay.
I'm
good
here.
With anything? All
yeah.
right.
Down to where any of the conversation goes.
I was wondering about Still Alive. Mm-hmm. I kind of took it as like...
It's funny, I thought no one listened to... Those are the last two songs on the album, and I was like, yeah. No one listened to those songs.
Oh, really? That's what you thought?
I just thought that. I was like, I mean, that, you know, people just don't always go all the way through the album.
Mm-hmm. So did you purposely put it at the end...
Yeah, I thought they were good.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, maybe people will get to them. And then the way I listen to things is all like, if I already like the artist, I just start and I like let the whole thing play.
Mm-hmm.
But there's sometimes I just like specific songs and then I kind of like listen to them before and after and then mm-hmm. kind of like until I'm listening to the whole album. But,
gotcha.
So I don't know. That's the way I would do it.
So I was wondering about that song.
Yeah.
It kind of, the way it spoke to me is that, I don't know, because like the way, I feel like the way that I may have interpreted things is like maybe not what you meant at all, but I guess that's what the nature of art
that's
is.
Fine. Yeah.
But the way that I interpreted it is like kind of going at this art thing for like this music thing and like just kind of like, what if I just went back and gave up on it? Like it's been such a shitty time or something, or like it's been a really hard time. But what could you tell me like what exactly the song meant to you or?
It's just about struggling with the same things over and over again
mm-hmm.
and having figuring out how to live with those struggles.
So is it specifically with music or with your life?
My life. I have OCD.
Oh, okay.
And I just accepted it like in the last couple weeks.
Gotcha.
I don't mind saying it in an interview.
Okay.
I'm pretty comfortable with it, but a lot of the things that I was trying to figure out on this album, I've now been kind of looking at it with a new kind of lens just like
yeah.
understanding this disorder that I have
mm-hmm.
and how it's shaped my thinking.
Yeah.
I think specifically when it comes to that song, I had like it's a lot of without specifically saying I have this thing, this is the way my brain works, or
mm-hmm.
I have this disorder, and explaining what OCD is, it was me kind of like talking around it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the same things, like a lot of like reevaluating my narrative constantly and like
mm-hmm.
just like at I think there's lines about like being 15 or I think about like different junctures, like being 15 or 21 or now I'm 24
mm-hmm.
and just always being like things aren't right, like when are things going to be right, or like
mm-hmm.
this constant search for
like
whatever,
like waiting for it to be right.
Yeah. And I think that's like the wrong attitude, and
yeah.
things aren't ever really right, and things
mm-hmm.
aren't ever really, they don't really fall in place like that. So it's more about like kind of
like framing.
Yeah, like
mm-hmm.
if there's like rigidity that I had set up in my own head mm-hmm. that I'm learning how to let go of and be a little more flexible.
So when you were writing the song, were you aware that you had OCD? Or
I've been off and on about it since like high school, but
gotcha.
I hadn't like now I'm being more proactive about understanding it and
mm-hmm.
trying to like understand how to live with it, which has been working really good.
That's great, yeah.
And like kind of more addressing it like head on.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of was like, didn't think I would need like therapy or something. Like
mm-hmm.
in high school and even college and even, like I just started therapy recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was when I was like, okay, I'm gonna deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, I kind of was like, I can figure this out myself. I'll figure it out like through writing songs.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of loops that you create for yourself
mm-hmm.
In this specific disorder. You kind of
mm-hmm.
like, it's a lot of, I don't know, mental like headaches or acrobatics that you put yourself through.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that song's like addressing that just without addressing it.
Gotcha.
Completely.
I noticed that Green Fleece was already on Gig Bag. Why'd you decide to put it on Be the One You Love and expand it?
I thought it was a good song and that I could do better.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Pretty good answer.
Pretty simple.
So I also noticed that blue shoes have shown up in your music a lot.
Yeah.
And I know that it refers to like the New Balances that you wear.
Yeah, how'd you know that?
Because I'm creepy and I...
That's so right.
Yeah, but I was wondering why exactly like you mention shoes a lot. You also, I think, wrote about white Reeboks too.
Yeah.
It's just like shoes seem to be kind of like a thing.
That's what I had at the time.
That's so cool. There's no like symbolism, like deep
I like the lyrically I like the idea of balance.
Mm-hmm.
I think in Blue Shoes the song, like that's on like this first album, What's Up. I don't know if you've heard What's Up.
Yeah.
It's an album. But I thought it was a nice like narrative device of talking about, well, it opens up with white Reeboks and it's talking about walking.
Mm-hmm.
And then halfway through there's a song Blue Shoes. And the blue shoes are actually just the white shoes, but it's midnight, so they look like they're blue.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's kind of quirky.
Gotcha.
But it just comes from like writing while I'm walking.
Mm-hmm.
Just, a lot of things are just all right, and just like as I'm walking around or biking or driving, and just like noticing either what comes to my mind or what's in front of me.
Gotcha.
So that's all that is.
That works. Okay.
Yeah.
So I noticed that a lot of your stuff is produced in Baltimore, and also I saw something was produced in Amsterdam. I just kind of wanted to know, like, just the story with both of those places, like why you produce in Baltimore, and even how you ended up producing in Amsterdam.
I went to Baltimore. I went to school in Baltimore for 4 years.
Oh, okay.
And I lived there.
Gotcha.
I'm from Maryland originally.
Oh, okay.
From Rockville, Maryland. Went to school in Baltimore.
How'd you end up here?
I just moved here.
Okay.
By car, I guess.
Is there like a reason why you chose Philly? Or?
No. People ask me that. Nothing too specific when I'm glad I'm here. I've met a lot of people that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to love people.
Yeah, it is nice to love people.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about Amsterdam.
That was a program through the school.
Uh-huh.
We did like a spring break trip to Amsterdam. To go to, it's called Steinberg School of I don't really remember the acronym for it was. I think it's called Stein.
Okay.
But it's like, they have a bunch of synthesizers there. And it's like pretty much like electronic music school.
Mm-hmm.
Like real small kind of place.
Did you major in like music stuff? Or?
I majored in sculpture.
Oh, cool.
But we like took a lot of sound classes. That's how I learned like Ableton and how to produce.
Mm-hmm.
I've been writing songs for a long time, but that's kind of when I started taking those classes was when I started working more in like electronic music and beat making rather than playing guitar, which as I said, like that's kind of, so it's been since like probably 3 or 4 years that I've been doing that, and I'm now just kind of switching back to like wanting to play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, we just went to like Amsterdam for a little bit and just spent some days like working in that like studio or school. I honestly don't remember what it was. It was such like, I think I was like jet lagged the whole time. I couldn't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Like we all, like it was like 4 of us that from my school that went, and like we all shared a room, and I remember waking up at like 5 a.m. Or not even waking up, I just didn't sleep. And I'd wake up at 5 a.m. or I'd get out at 5 a.m. and I'd just walk around and then meet everyone over at that like studio. And the whole thing is such like a daze.
Gotcha.
But I like the stuff I made.
Mm-hmm.
Like the two tracks on that, like that long form Blue Shoes.
Yeah.
That was made just in my bedroom, but then there was like an ambient one that I think I made while I was over there.
Mm-hmm.
Do
you find that Amsterdam like affected your music at all in terms of like just like inspiring you in the city?
Not really.
Gotcha.
I have like some like some romantic thoughts of like walking around there.
Mm-hmm.
I really like this video artist Ed Atkins.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned him in a song.
Yeah.
In the song Everywhere Man. I really like him. And I originally saw his show in Amsterdam at the museum there.
Yeah.
And then I saw he had another show in, or he has a couple works over the last couple of years that have been at Hirshhorn in DC, and I don't know. I think Amsterdam for that. Like, I wouldn't really have known his work.
If you didn't see his exhibition there?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I would have eventually, but not. It was a really nice, like, big show, like, solo show of his.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I only know his work because of your song.
Yeah.
So there you go. So on Snow Joke, make your thing from a while ago.
Good research.
Yeah, I know. I'm just so good at interviewing.
I'm just impressed.
I noticed that all of your lyrics were written in paragraphs, and then everything after that is like more, you know, traditional lyrical form. And I was wondering why you decided on that like EP to write in paragraphs.
I don't know. I think I saw a friend's album and they had it written that way. And I was like, I like the way it looks.
Okay, gotcha.
I forgot that I did that until you just said it. But I literally think I just like...
Just like, there's no like deeper meaning or anything.
No.
No?
A friend did it and I was like, that looks nice.
It was like very like poetic.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Sure.
So,
I'll take that into consideration though.
how the paragraphs
the next
look.
Things,
yeah. So I think I'm done with all of my serious questions, but I got three like stupid questions. Yes, you can read my handwriting.
You can ask me anything.
So if you could only listen to 5 albums for the rest of your life, what would they be?
I don't know. I could maybe answer like 4 today, but all I've been listening to lately is the Beatles and John Lennon.
Oh, sweet! I used to be like grossly into the Beatles. Like I was one of those people who's like, if it's not the Beatles, it's not music.
Yeah,
you know, one of those people.
I'm not that far, but I think I'm not picking them, but I do like them a lot right now. Your
own albums? Yeah.
I think they're really comfortable.
They are comfortable. I'll say
like,
that.
That's all. I think that that seems. It's not even in like a selfish way. Like not a. It's not in an egotistical way where I think it's like the best. It's just like I made them for myself.
Yeah.
And they're like the most comfortable thing for me to listen to.
So do you find that you make your art for yourself, not for like an audience?
That's the goal. I don't think anyone like
truly makes art for themselves.
Yeah, I can't think of like. I'm sure there's some artists, but like if you're gonna put your art out, you're like there's a reason you want to put it out.
Yeah.
I don't know. The goal would probably be to like learn what I really want and what I want to hear and what's just enjoyable to make.
Mm-hmm.
I think trying not to overcomplicate it too much.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So now I'm gonna have to ask you more about the Beatles. I'm gonna have to do it. But so what's your top Beatles album?
Probably Magical Mystery Tour.
Oh, okay, cool.
And then my favorite song by any of them is Hold On.
Yeah.
It's a John Lennon solo, and yeah, I did the Jacob's Interlude is just like a sample of that.
Yeah, I noticed
that. I don't know, I think that's my favorite one that any of them wrote. Mm-hmm. Or Give Me Some Truth is really good. I like John Lennon's solo stuff.
I like George Harrison's solo stuff better, but...
I don't play better.
Okay, sorry.
It's good.
Speaks to me more.
Sure.
I don't know. I like George is my favorite Beatle, definitely. So I just like John. There's something about John that I don't. He's
a cowboy.
He's a cowboy. I like the whole thing. Like he's like Mimi's dead. I can be mean to everybody, and that's basically.
Is Mimi his?
That was his. He was raised by his aunt.
Okay.
So his aunt, because his mom died when he was.
I see.
Yeah, and then Mimi raised him, and then Mimi died. So he was just like became such an angry, bitter person, in my opinion. But
I've heard people say that before.
Yeah, I mean, all the Beatles beat their wives. Like literally, there is not one of them who didn't. So they're both like they're all bad.
Yeah.
So there's not a right answer there.
Sure.
But so you would say John Lennon's solo career speaks to you more?
Not after
that. it's all right. It's okay.
Yeah.
No judgment there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is the best concert you've ever been to?
I'm trying to think. I don't know. I end up liking playing more than watching.
Gotcha.
That kind of the similar to the 5 albums.
Mm-hmm.
Just being like, I wish I was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Best concert I've ever been to.
It can be like DIY or it can be like real people.
One time, the first time I saw Palm, do you know the band Palm?
I don't think so.
They live in Philly. They're a rock band. I saw them in Baltimore a couple years ago.
And that's why you came to Philly.
No.
Only
that.
I don't
think they lived in Philly at the time.
Gotcha.
I think they're from New York originally. But I remember thinking they were really good. What was another band there? I just think of bands that, like, after they played, I was like, that was the best thing I've ever seen. The band Crow. When I saw Crow, I, like, they had a lot of hype around them. They were a rock band from a couple years ago. Who, I think, disbanded now. But when I saw them, I was like, I would get the hype. And I, like, got really into them after I saw them live.
I tend to do that, like, after I see, like, a band live, I'm like, oh, I gotta devour everything. But
I don't know.
Have you been to, like, a lot of, like, bigger concerts that are, like, you know, like, non-DIY? Or
I mean, no.
No?
Not that many. Maybe, like, a handful.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I can't think of too many. There's ones that I've played more that, or, like, in my life that, like, have just been, like, kind of pivotal things for me. I've just been, like, oh, I didn't realize I could do this.
Or, what's, like, a show like that, you would say?
I think when I was 13, my band at the time played in Baltimore, and we were just, like, these suburban kids. We went to Baltimore to play this, like, all day, like, kind of just fest, but in, like, a really small venue, just kind of, like, a bunch of, you know, like, what now seems like a very normal thing, but when I was 13 seeing this, I, like, didn't, it's, like, all this whole new world just opening up, you know. It's, like, the first time I've seen, like, understanding what punk is and understanding, I guess, what, like, it means to, like, just do something yourself. I just wanted, like, to be absorbed in the world. But I was, like, 13, so there's the limitations of being young.
Yeah.
But I tried to surround myself as much as possible. Like, for the rest of, like, middle school and high school, I was trying to be as much engulfed by that world as possible.
So is that when you, like, got into, like, the scene?
Sure. I tried. Yeah.
Gotcha. That's, like, pretty young to start out, I feel like. Like, actually playing shows for people. Because I feel like a lot of people have, like, their middle school bands and stuff like that, but you don't actually play a show for anybody. But
yeah, I don't know how we did it, but
like, that's pretty cool that you got on, like, a bill of some sort.
Yeah.
So
I think they were just impressed by, like, 13-year-olds being in a punk band.
So, you like punk?
Yeah.
So
I grew up on it.
Gotcha. What are some punk bands that you're into?
Favorite punk band is probably Minor Threat.
Oh, okay, sweet.
And I mean, I used to listen to a lot of, like, Gorilla Biscuits.
Love Gorilla Biscuits. They're amazing.
I don't know if you consider Talking Heads punk, but, I mean, they're around in that scene. So
yeah.
I love Talking Heads, but I don't think anyone talks about them as a punk band, even though I think in their original, like, conception of it.
I would say, like, in their, not in their message, but, like, in their,
like, attitude, I guess.
In their attitude, I would consider them punk. But
I like that usually, like, a lot more than, because I don't love, like, aggressive sounds usually.
Oh, okay.
So it's a lot more has to do with attitude for me.
Yeah.
Of,
like, I was going
to
say,
how you're gonna approach something.
Yeah, I can't see you listening to punk. You seem like a very gentle person.
Thank you.
But
Nirvana. Nirvana's cool.
Okay.
I bike faster to Nirvana.
Oh, so that's your motivation.
That's a tip for everyone out there.
Ah. Just giving out good advice.
Yeah.
I talked to Henry Rollins when I was at that festival from Black Flag. And he does, like, a lot of that, like, you know, motivational.
Yeah, some, like, people talk on photography.
Yeah, he's something. He, like, is, like, a total hypocrite. Like, he talks about how much he loves talking to his fans and stuff like that. And then after the show, he was, like, so mean to everybody that was trying to just say hi to him.
I don't know what it would be like to be him.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you ever, let's speak in hypotheticals, I guess, here. Let's say if you you found success, stopped making music, what do you think would come after that?
Why would I stop making music?
Okay, that's a good answer.
Yeah. I mean,
so you think you're just going to keep making music?
For now, I mean, I might not always. I like making films. I like art objects. I mean, I just like making things.
Yeah.
And I think that usually my mind is somewhat practical, and it's like, what's the most practical thing I could be working on? Like, when I was in school, it felt more practical to be working on sculpture, and I still made music as, like, kind of a side project at home, but it's like I had resources, I had space,
why not do this now, kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, or just like, this is what I am doing now.
Mm-hmm.
When we make like music videos, it's like I don't see why like that can't, you know, that could easily go into like its own direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think just more like doing is better than like trying to predict what I'll be doing.
Gotcha. So.
But I know I'll be doing something.
So creating is always going to be a part of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Gotcha.
I don't even think about it as creating. It's just like.
Doing.
Yeah.
Doing like what you do.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So, what is the weirdest thing that's ever happened to you at a show?
At a show?
Mm-hmm. Like where you're performing.
Hmm. The weirdest show I ever played was, I can think of a couple from tour, because sometimes when you're touring, you just play anything you can get.
Mm-hmm.
This one relates, because it's 4th of July. When I was 17, I was on the first tour.
Mm-hmm.
And we played in South Carolina in a trailer park. Not a trailer park, sorry. It was just a trailer.
Oh, gotcha.
We played on Elvis Presley Boulevard.
Oh, wow.
In South Carolina in this trailer. And the guy who lived in the trailer, his like grandma, like this, it was kind of shit where she lived down the street and she named the boulevard. And then he had a trailer like on the same street.
Yeah.
And like played for like 10 people in this trailer, like acoustic guitar.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it's just like, and like, you walk outside and just from every direction, there was like guns and fireworks going off. Just like,
that's
I don't know
insane.
Where I was in the South, but it felt very like, I don't know. It was just, you can't predict something like that.
I went to a trailer park show in South Jersey.
Oh, wow.
That was much like that. South Jersey is like a whole.
It's just South Carolina. It's
South basically Jersey. In yeah. South Jersey. Like, you know how like there's like. Like West Pennsylvania is Pennsylvania, you know?
Sure.
That's basically South Jersey.
I see.
So, yeah, trailer park shows are definitely something weird.
Yeah, there was that. I think that same summer I ended up playing like in some like abandoned hotel.
What?
And like, that was a weird summer. That was like.
That sounds like a weird summer, especially at 17.
Yeah, my band went on a tour. Separate, this is a different tour.
Mm-hmm.
We went on a tour and we played in, I think it's Cottersport, Pennsylvania. It's mm-hmm. like up by where New York is, like in the middle of Pennsylvania, like kind of in the mountains. And it was this town of like 2,000 or 3,000 people. And so we played at this hotel and this one kid who was, I think, around our age, maybe a couple years older, his dad owned like the entire block.
Mm-hmm.
But and like it used to be this big town because like a cable company was there that employed everyone. And before they had like an interstate, like truckers would always go by like through the town, so they had like a restaurant and like this whole economy.
Mm-hmm.
And it pretty much crashed because like the cable company like got bankrupted, and then because of the recession. And then, like, because of the interstate, no truckers would go there.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy's dad just owned this whole block, and we, like, had a show on, like, the third floor of this hotel. Just, like, I think nobody else was staying there. At night, I remember we, like, had the restaurant to ourselves. Like, we, like, cooked food, like, in a, like, hotel, like, kitchen.
What?
And
that's
then,
crazy.
Like, I remember, like, a cop came to shut down mm-hmm. the show, and it was, like, everyone was, like, oh, no, Colin's here. And we're, like, who's Colin's? And, like, Colin's the cop. And, like, it was just, that was the one cop.
That is, it was this man.
It was this one guy, and he came and he was like, who's doing the music? I mean, he like walked over as if he was just like a neighbor or something.
He was like, what's going on here?
Yeah. But we had stopped playing by then.
Mm-hmm.
Like the show was over when he came. And I don't know, that always like.
Stuck with you, I guess.
Yeah. I remember like another, like a couple bands would go through there. I remember this one band like being treated like such celebrities because like no one really goes through there, and like the local paper came and like everyone, like not for us, but I remember hearing stories about that, like
mm-hmm.
just hundreds of people showing up because like no one goes through this town.
Gotcha.
So I don't know, that always sucked. I mean, that was like first or second stop on like one of my first tours that I was ever on.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice.
So what were your previous bands, like their genres, if you could put them into something?
I was just rock music.
Just rock music. Gotcha. Love rock music.
Yeah, writing. I was just like writing songs the same way but I had like an electric guitar and the bass and drums and
very standard setup type of thing. Gotcha.
Nothing too special.
All right, so that's all my questions.
Cool.
It ended up being 35 minutes. Wow.
Cool.
All right.
That's